Daniel chapter number 6. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read this chapter, and I think you'll be blessed by it. I think it will keep your attention. And because it contains one of the most amazing stories in all of the Bible, our young people probably are familiar with this, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter number 6 and verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. And O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established shall be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel and said, and the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded and brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions which And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an amazing story and what amazing witness of your greatness. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to read the Bible together. Lord, we ask, dear God, now, as you have ordained, the preaching of your word, Lord, that it would show forth the power of Almighty God. We pray for each Christian that's here. Thank you for their faithfulness in this matter of being obedient to the commands of your word that instruct us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're thankful, Lord, for each one that's here. Some here may be without Christ as their Savior. May they know the God of Daniel as Lord and Savior before they leave here. And Lord, may Christians, Lord, be uplifted and encouraged, Lord, in this matter of doing right. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I'm going to read one more verse before I launch into the introduction of the message. Let me say this first of all great men, now I'm going to make an observation here, all great men who have impacted the world for Christ have lived their lives wholly committed to a very few simple philosophies. Let me say that again. All great men who have impacted the world for Christ have lived their lives wholly committed to a few and very simple philosophies. Now, let's just do this as Christians today, and I'm going to help you in this matter, because I think sometimes we make the Christian life a whole lot more complicated than it needs to be. And before long, we're walking around with a book that's bigger than the Bible of things that we've decided we need to stay true to and do. But I think that God, a lot of times in the Bible, cuts through all of that and just simplifies it for us. Let me give you one such verse in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And many of you know this by heart because you've memorized it. Some of our young people know it by heart because it has been put to music and we sing it as a scripture song. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Now there is a very few philosophies, core philosophies, that God challenges us to be true to. And again, I think most everything in the Bible can be slated underneath one of these three headings. Listen to me, young people, because I want to be an encouragement to you. Married couples, I want to help you. Listen, those of you that are starting into life and build a home, I'm going to help you with some things. Middle-aged folks like me, I still try to hold on to that. Middle-aged folks like me, I want you to listen to me. Senior citizens, senior saints, I want you to hear me out, please, this morning. Daniel, I think his greatness is found in the fact that Daniel had a very simple philosophy of life. Let me just give you Daniel's philosophy of life. Are you listening to me? This is not going to be hard to remember. What was Daniel's simple philosophy of life? Here was his philosophy. Do right. Do right. Now, Micah wrote it like this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. To do right. And by the way, while you're doing right, love mercy. And while you're loving mercy, walk humbly with your God. What that means is this, folks. Well, what a great formula for just, if you took those three things and said, I'm going to do it this week, it would change your life. You know what? Number one, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do justly. When I'm faced with a decision of right or wrong, I'm just going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right if it's easy to do. I'm going to do right if it's hard to do. I'm going to do right if everybody around me is doing it. And I'm going to do right if nobody around me is doing it. I'm going to do justly because that is one of the things that the Lord requires of me. Watch this now. While I'm doing justly, I'm also going to love mercy. I'm going to understand that not everybody may be able to live or have grown to the point where they can achieve the same standard of conduct that I've set for myself. And you know what? I'm going to show mercy to some people maybe that are trying. I'm going to show mercy to some people that haven't grown to the point I've grown. And I'm going to love this matter of mercy. And let me say this, folks. You better love mercy, and I better love mercy, because if it were not for the mercy and grace of Almighty God, we would be burning in a devil's hell right now here this morning. And so while I'm going to hold a high standard for myself, you know what? I'm going to be merciful to those around me who maybe have not been saved as long as I have. I'm going to show a little mercy to my children who aren't 35 or 40 or 45 years of age. I'm going to show a little mercy to a fellow church member and pray for them and try to be an encouragement to them. But I'm also going to do this. I'm going to walk humbly with my God. Folks, if we could just manage those three things this week, you know what? I have a feeling at the end of the week, God would be very pleased with the kind of life that we've lived. Now, I'm going to focus on the very first one of those. And we're going to look at this matter of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel had a very simple philosophy of life. You know what? This was his philosophy. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. When a new circumstances arises, I'm going to do right. When it comes time to go and pray, I'm going to do right. When it's a choice between whether or not to eat the king's meat or not, and drink his wine, I'm going to do right. When it comes to the matter whether or not to obey the laws of this heathen land or not, I'm going to just do what's right. I'm going to do right, you see. Daniel's simple philosophy of life. Now can we just preach down through this story, and I think we'll enjoy it and have a good time with it. Are you ready? Look at verse number 3. Let me point out number 1. Point number 1, Daniel's shining testimony. Daniel's shining testimony. Daniel, the Bible says here in verse number 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now, Daniel had a shining testimony for the Lord. Well, Brother Jerry, how did this shining testimony play out? Number 1, let me say this. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, that means, young people, let me just simplify this for you and bring it right down to where you live. You know what? That means he had a good attitude. You know what? That means he woke up, and sometimes he didn't feel very good, but he went ahead and put a smile on his face anyway. That means he didn't always, maybe was on the top of his game, but you know what? He always thought about others before he thought about himself. I think he looked out for the other guy. I think he said, please. I think he said, thank you. I think he said, yes, sir. I think he said, yes, ma'am. I think he just showed respect to people. I think if he was walking to a door and there was a lady about to come in the same time as him, I don't think he ran over or ran past her. I think he grabbed the door and held it open for her. Said, good morning, ma'am. How are you doing today? And by the way, because he decided that he was going to do right in the matter of having an excellent spirit, he established a shining testimony for the Lord. You know what, folks? We need some young people that will just decide that they're going to raise the level a little bit in their life in this matter of being a shining testimony for the Lord and having an excellent spirit. Now, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? I mean in your house when Mom asks you to do something, you say, yes, ma'am. And you put a smile on your face and you hop to it and you just do it. I mean when Daddy says, hey, come out here and help me do this, you say, yes, sir, and you jump out there and you do it. When you're at school and the teacher asks you to do something, you put a smile on your face and do it. When other people are grumbling and criticizing and complaining and trying to point out everything that's wrong, you know what? You decide that life isn't so bad, and hey, you know what? You could be starving to death in Africa, or you could be a Christian that's having to hide in the Sudan and hunted down like an animal today. I mean, you could realize you're in America, and we've been blessed, and we eat good. Yes, we do. We eat plenty good, and we've got a good life and a good home. And you know what? You can just decide that you're going to start looking at the glass and realizing it's half full and not half empty. Folks, listen to me. Well, you know, Christians, of everybody in the world, Christians ought to stand out in this society because of having an excellent spirit. Daniel had a shining testimony because of his excellent spirit. He had a shining testimony because of his steadfast faithfulness. We see in verse number 4, so the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. He had steadfast faithfulness. You know what that means, gentlemen? That means when it was time for Daniel to be at work, he was at work. He wasn't running in 5 minutes late. If anything, he was 5 minutes early. It means if he told somebody he'd be at a certain place, certain time, he was there, or he sent notification that he couldn't make it, but he didn't leave people hanging. I mean, he was faithful. And if everybody said, you know what? If there's one guy you can count on, it's Daniel. If you want help, go see Daniel. If Daniel says he'll do something, you can count on him. If you need something done that's right and you need contact with the king, you go through Daniel, because I'm going to tell you something. He'll do right by you, and he was just a faithful person. This is part of his shining testimony. And then I love Daniel's Christian testimony. You know what? Here we have jealousy. Now, Brother Johnny, I know this doesn't exist in today's society, but there was some political jealousy going on in this story here. I mean, we live in a crazy society, folks. Here we have that Darius the king decided to set up his kingdom a certain way. He had 120 princes, and over these 120, he had three. And over the three, he had one. One of the three was over the other two. And Daniel was at the top of the stack. And you know what? By the way, that shows some sense to me. That shows that Darius was organized, and he did things a certain way, and he knew how to delegate, and he knew how to get things done. But you know what? Amongst that political scene, I know it doesn't happen in America, but amongst this political scene, there was some jealousies and backstabbings and envy and strife. And why is he number one and we're not number one? And I can't believe this. And man alive, he's not even from here. And all of these little nitpicking. Listen, these princes, they wasted the king's time. I want you to listen to me. They wasted the king's time. They misappropriated what they were elected to do. They spent days and days and days, instead of looking out for the king's welfare and for the good of the people, they spent time conniving and envying and strife and backbiting. And I'm going to tell you something. It's sad. It's sad what's going on in our government today. It's sad that we have, for the most part, the level of character that we have in men today. I mean, good night. If you're elected to do something, then go up there and do something and make your decision. Listen, do right. Here's a philosophy, politicians. Do right. Do right. I mean, we didn't elect you to go up there and fight and nitpick and work on undermining the other party and who you can make mad and who you can... Do right! Do right by the county. Do right by the state. Do right by our country. Do right! We've got the same mess today. But you know what? There was one politician in this day and age that did right, and that was Daniel. You know what? He didn't play the politics game. He didn't play this, you do me a favor, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, slide me some money under the table, and I'll see that this goes away. He didn't play those games. Matter of fact, how do you know that, Brother Jerry? Because they put him under a microscope. And they said, you know what, we'll go and check into his background. We'll talk to everybody he's ever done any business with. We'll talk to everybody that he was in jail with. We'll talk to everybody that was over him. And we'll find something that we can go to the king and accuse him of. And you know what? Daniel had a track record of doing right. Of doing right. And because of that, you know what? They only had one thing that they could accuse him of. I love this. Boy, if this could only be said of us, folks. Chapter 6, verse number 5, it says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So the only thing we can find out about this guy is when it comes to serving God, he's a religious fanatic. The only thing we can really find out about this guy, if we're going to have any kind of success or help in trying to undermine him, probably if he's got a weak spot, here's his weak spot. He's faithful to his God no matter what. Amen's right. Amen. Boy, if people look back in our past and dug around in our closets and looked for skeletons, I think they may find some, but they didn't find any in Daniel's. They just found it a shining Christian testimony. Now, young person, listen to me. Listen, when you go through your teenage years, from the time you hit 12 to the time you hit 18, you know what? You can have a good Christian testimony during your teenage years. I don't care what everybody else is doing. You can have a shining Christian testimony during your teenage years. You know how you do that? You decide that you're going to have an excellent spirit. Well, how do I have an excellent spirit? You do right. You do right. You can be steadfast in your faithfulness. Well, how do you do that, Brother Jerry? You decide to do right. You decide to do right. He had a very simple philosophy. Everything you see in Daniel's life comes back to one decision. Here's wrong, here's right. I got to make a choice. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. You can have a Christian testimony where, you know what, even if they put you under a microscope, all they can find, if anything they can find about you, it's that maybe when it comes to, he's an independent fundamental Baptist. He's a little wacky when it comes. He goes to church 3-4 times a week. I mean, he graduated from a Christian school. He goes out and knocks on doors and passes out flyers and gives out gospel tracts, and he prays before he eats. I mean, that's all we can find out about him. Do right. Now, young people, listen to me. Some of you this morning need to make some choices in this matter of doing right. Doing right. I've watched teenagers. I'm going to tell you something. I'm proud of our young people around here. I am. I know all of them are a work in progress, but by the way, so am I and so are you. And, the honest truth is we need to support them and pray for them. But I like it when I see young people step up and do right. I love it when I see young people step up and do right. I remember a young man that we dealt with for some time, not in this church, but another church we dealt with for some time. And this young man was trying to do right and wanted to do right and was coming to church faithfully, but I knew that there were some areas of his life that he was having problems in. One of the big things in his life that was keeping him for several months going forward, like he ought to, for the Lord Jesus. There's anyone here that's not saved, they're faced with a choice right now. The wrong thing to do would be to leave this auditorium unsaved. The right thing to do would be to come forward an invitation and let somebody take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. I pray, Lord, that they would do the right thing this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody here this morning that say, Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me, but I'd sure like to know for sure that I'm saved. I don't mean at one time you got saved. And listen, I don't believe this hogwash, and the Bible don't teach this hogwash about being saved and lost and saved and lost and saved and lost. You look back at a time in your life when you truly were sorry for your sin, and you understood that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you called out to Christ with a sincere heart, asked Him to forgive you and save you. Let me tell you something, you're saved. But if you've never done that, you're lost. And you ought to be saved today. Is there anyone here that say, Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. I don't think I'm saved. And I want to do the right thing this morning. I want to get saved. I'm not saved, Brother Jerry. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I'm not saved. I'm not saved. How many of you, and by the way, nobody's looking around, but I want to pray for you. How many of you young people, you say, Brother Jerry, right now I'm being faced with a lot of decisions on right and wrong. I'm being faced right now in a lot of decisions, right and wrong. I want to do the right thing. Would you pray for me, Brother Jerry, that I'll do the right thing? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? How about it, adults? All over the auditorium. How about it, young person? I see that hand. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Brother Jerry, I'm faced right now with a decision between right and wrong, and I want to do the right thing. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Heavenly Father, give them the strength, Lord, to do it. Help them to do it, God. Help them to do it. Help them to stand for you. Help them to dare to be a Daniel. Lord, I know that you're a gracious and wonderful and fair God. You're a rewarder of those that do good, Lord, and a punisher of those that do evil. I pray, Lord, that you'd give your children the strength to do the right thing. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.